In all things we give him thanks, right? Because there's really nothing that we have that we didn't receive in the first place. Can you think of anything that you have that you didn't receive? Okay, that settles that. So we give God praise, we give him glory in all things. If somebody compliments you, if they said, man, that was a good word, or brother, that was an awesome song, whatever it was, we say, thank you. We need to learn how to receive honor, but then we give it back to God. Yeah. Yeah. We say, well, let the Lord be praised. I heard someone say, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. And I heard someone say one time when they heard that, they said, well, it wasn't that good. If it was Jesus, it would have been a lot better than that. You need to learn how to receive, all right? Some of us, we feel like we don't deserve anything, and so we don't receive anything when God's trying to give you something. God wants to bless you. God wants to impart into you something that's eternal. God wants you to have joy. Amen? Amen. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have his righteousness. Yes. So we got to learn how to be good receivers as well as givers. And you're allowing someone else to bless you when you're a receiver as well. Yeah. So whether you think you need it or not, you know, sometimes we all get those gifts around Christmas time, that the gifts that keep on giving, you know. And say, oh, I thank you. And you know, we know that we appreciate the kindness of their heart, that they would consider to give us a gift, you know. So we are grateful and we thank people. Sometimes you get those gifts that you just don't really need. And, you know, sometimes God gives you a gift that's for somebody else. Yeah. Has anybody ever let something slip through your hands before like that? And God gives you something, but it wasn't for you? Be careful about those things, you know. If God gives you something and it's not supposed to be for you and you keep it to yourself, you can lose a bigger blessing. So we just need to listen to what God is saying and give him thanks. He is our provider. We are not going to trust in the government. We're not going to trust in employers. We're not going to trust in man. We're going to trust in God. And if we are truly resting in him, trusting in him, God will take care of it. Amen. When you find yourself stressing about stuff, pray. Go to God. Very simple, isn't it? I'm going to talk to you today about calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. And I want you to turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Say amen when you get it.
Amen.
That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, was it Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel? Okay, I got it. Something like that. Okay. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. How many of you today have been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Look at that. Okay. Now, how many of you that were baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues Receive that while you are being silent. No hands? How many receive the baptism and the evidence and the release of tongues while you were audibly praising God? Okay. Rarely does it happen any other way. There's a reason for that, and we're going to talk about it today. What is the meaning of calling on the name of the Lord? Now, is it the same as praying? Is it the same as praying? To call on the name of the Lord. In a sense, it is, right? In a general sense, it is to pray. But to call on the name of the Lord is something that you do in an audible voice. It actually means to call out to God. Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5 and 7, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, that means earnest entreaty, with loud cries and tears, Jesus himself offering up in the days of his flesh prayers and supplications with what? Loud cries and tears to the Father, to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Jesus himself called out to the Father. This was not a mumble or a whisper under the breath. This was an audible calling out. And folks, if you can get a hold of this today, it can completely change the whole dynamic of your Christian experience. It can completely transform your environment around you, what's going on inside you as well. This, if you can get a hold of this truth today, this thing will break chains off of you. It'll break spiritual bondage off you. It will set you free. Yes. Now, in the Old Testament, I just want to mention two prophets. Number one was Jeremiah. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55, he said, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, listen, from my cry for help. Has anybody called out, help? Sometimes that's all we know to need to do, right? Is say, Jesus, help. You drew near, listen, on the day I called to you. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, behold, he said, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Here is giving reference to drawing from the wells of salvation. And that word salvation is Yeshua, where we get today who? Jesus. He is our salvation. And verse 4, in the day that you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Verse 6, cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. I love those quiet times we spend together, me and Jesus. Sometimes we have quiet times in church. How many know there's a time and a place for everything? We don't always have to be loud and noisy to be spiritual. Sometimes that gets misunderstood. I've been in some situations where there was a lot of noise, a lot of hooting and hollering going on, but very little happening in the spirit realm. The key here is to be tuned in to what God is doing. Amen? And hear and listen for his voice. Do what he tells you to do. But be careful that you don't rebel against the Spirit of God when he's telling you to do something that may put you in an uncomfortable place. Some people are naturally shy, and so they have a hard time being more vocal. Other people are naturally... Thank you. But God made us all different, right? And there's a variety, amen? There's a whole variety of spices in his garden. And so for some of us, it's a lot easier to be loud, to shout, possibly, you know? However, there is a time when the people of God need to come together and they need to shout to the Lord corporately and at the same time. When the walls of Jericho came down, what happened? They came down with a shout. What preceded the shout was silence. Days of marching around the walls. And then at the command of the Lord, they shouted and the walls came down. Something was shattered in the spirit realm that brought down the enemies of God. When the Jews would sound the shofar, a call to assembly, or as a warning that there was impending danger, or a call to action, to war, it would shatter, amen, the enemy. And also at times it would actually strike fear into the hearts of the enemy when they heard the trumpet. There is a time to be silent, and there's a time to call out audibly to God, to shout to the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. How does God become our salvation, our strength, and our song? How can we draw water from salvation, from Yeshua, from Jesus? We do it by calling on his name. We do it by singing, praising him, crying out and shouting to him. How many have had the experience where you were bound up until the day where you had had enough? And you actually just shouted. Amen. You didn't just shout into the air, but you shouted to God. And you said, God, help me. Jesus! I like that, Cliff. The devils hate it when he does that. Shouts to the Lord. Hallelujah. When it comes to the Word of God, folks, I want you to hear this today. It doesn't matter what our opinion is. If you go by your opinion, you're going to miss it. If you go by what God says, you're going to make it. There are a lot of people who are missing it because they're not doing what God says to do, simply. We've got to get past ourselves. We've got to get over ourselves. We've got to get beyond ourselves sometimes, amen, to get right with God. Truth is really what matters here. You shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Truth is what matters. Truth is what frees the soul. Now, in the Old Testament, the first reference to this calling on the name of the Lord began in the third generation of the human race with Enosh, who was the grandson of Adam and the son of Seth. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain slain. Verse 26, and as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Kara, to call out audibly. And throughout Scripture, it continues. And if you want to write these down, write them down. We don't have time today to go through them all. But you see over and over again throughout Scripture, Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 8, Isaac, Genesis 26 and verse 25, Moses, Deuteronomy 4, 7, Job 12 and verse 4, Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, Samson in Judges 16 and verse 28, and Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 18, David in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4, and many others, but those are some, just to name a few. Now, Joel here in chapter 2 said that whoever or whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord in the last days would be saved. That word saved means delivered. It's very important that we get a hold of this and we begin to practice this thing called calling on the name of the Lord. Many have understood this in Pentecostal circles and had not actually understood the biblical application of it, but they've just discovered that something happens when I shout out to God. There have been times when I was so beat down, pressed down, oppressed by the enemy that the only way I could get out of that thing is just to shout to Jesus. And it's amazing, just sometimes just to shout to God, one shout, how that thing would be broken off me just like that. In the Korean church, where I started out with Hae-suk, when I was radically born again, and she was going to a church that was under the umbrella of Dr. Cho's church in Korea. It was a Korean-American church in Tacoma. In that church, they practice this corporately. They take a time in the service near the beginning where sometimes they even ring a bell. But at the same time, they will shout to the Lord three times. You can even count to three and do it. And they will shout, Jua, Jua, Jua. Jesus, 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 our Lord. Three times. And then they all, in that church, of course, there's thousands and thousands of people. But even in smaller churches, when people will do that, and they'll begin to just to praise God audibly together, and to pray in the Holy Spirit together at that time that they had designated, there is such a release of the power of God that at that time, many people are instantly set free. Many people are instantly healed without anybody even laying hands on them. Simply because they have called upon the name of the Lord. We need to open ourselves up, folks, to be able to call on the name of the Lord. In this baptism with the Holy Spirit, there is a connection. Calling on the name of the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are living in this Acts chapter 2, I believe, still. We are living in the time that Joel had prophesied. The last days, the latter days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. We are living in the time, amen, when our sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, even on your young men, right? They will see visions. But the Lord is saying He's pouring out His Spirit. How many believe God is pouring out His Spirit today? Amen. It's not a matter of, God, would you send revival? Revival is here. Wherever Jesus is, there is revival. It's not God's fault, folks. It's us. We need to get connected. And if you've been disconnected, you need to reconnect to Him who is life. When you return to life in God, you have personal revival. When personal revival meets with corporate revival, hallelujah, it's glorious. When we are revived personally, and then we join together corporately, and that's what's happening in this church, we have many that are revived personally coming together to worship God corporately, and there's a release of the power, the anointing of God, that breaks yokes, sets captives free, that brings righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Stephen, in the time that he was stoned, he called on the name of the Lord while they were stoning him to death. God, Jesus, receive my spirit. Remember Saul of Tarsus? Later, Paul was given permission to jail all who called on the name of the Lord. They were called Jesus callers. Any Jesus callers in here today? Later on, Paul wrote about his conversion. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12, he said, "The same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, Paul later wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 22. And he said, "Pursue spiritual things with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Oh, is a pure heart important? Yes. Who's the only one that's able to purify your heart? All right. So you need to call on Jesus for purity too, right? But what I want you to know, folks, is that when God forgives you, you're forgiven. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't pick it back up. Leave it in the grave. Amen? Amen. Jesus took your sins, my sin, to the grave at Calvary. When you ask God to forgive you, he hears you. The devil is an accuser. He's a liar. And he wants you to believe that you're not forgiven. Because when you condemn yourself, you have no faith in God. When you try to measure yourself and say, "Well, am I good enough for God?" Guess what? You'll never measure up. You need to trust fully in the grace of God. You need to trust in the righteousness that God gives. And that righteousness is Jesus. He gives to you his Son. I trust in the Lord. I don't trust in my own goodness. When you're walking with God, when you're trusting in God, you'll walk in goodness. Hello. You know, if calling on the name of the Lord makes you nervous in church, how are you going to handle heaven? Why call upon the name of the Lord? Well, we've already named some of them, but first of all, Romans 10:13, to be rescued from sin. Number one, people need to open themselves up to call upon the name of the Lord. When Isaiah again was talking about drawing from living water, he was talking about drawing through calling out to God. Crying out to God. You know, there are many Christians who have never called upon the name of the Lord. They've never called on the name of the Lord. There are these silent Christians. In fact, I don't even know if they are Christians, but that's between them and God. But the Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And he's not just talking about being a silent witness, folks. Come on. He's talking about you opening your mouth for God. Because it's the word of God that is spoken, hallelujah, that brings salvation. How can they hear unless a preacher be sent? So when God talks about being a witness, it means in your lifestyle, but it also means in your speech. And so it's very important that we understand the power of the spoken word. And God gave us, amen, this little member so that it can produce life. How many know that you can produce life by what you speak into others? You can also produce death by what you say. And your own life, it also is equally true. What are you saying? What are you speaking? What are you complaining about? What are you saying out loud that's creating either an atmosphere of heaven or hell? We can be rescued from our sins by simply calling on the name of the Lord. We need to be released, folks, from the bondage of ourselves sometimes. Secondly, we call on the name of the Lord so we can be delivered from distress. Psalms 18 and verse 6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." We can be rescued from trouble. Psalms 50 and verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." When do we glorify God? When we are delivered. People will not glorify God unless they're set free. To be rescued from sorrow and pain. Psalms 116 verse 3, "The pains of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." Verse 4, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul." The easiest way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to call upon the name of the Lord. We can be delivered, folks, this way. You can be filled with the power of God by calling out audibly to Jesus. If you are here today and you are struggling with intimidation, you are struggling with fear, you are struggling with just being able to be free and express yourself for God, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Folks, I am here to tell you over and over again, in my own experience and the experience of others that I've witnessed, that I've said, you need to call out to Jesus. I mean, sometimes you need to shout to Jesus. And over again, when people do that, those chains come off. God breaks the chains off them. We got to be careful that we don't allow our own thoughts and opinions become an idol. That we will esteem my own opinion above what God says in His Word. If God says to shout to me, you shout to Him. Yes. If He says be silent, you be silent. There's a time to be silent and a time to shout. And if you want to be set free, you're going to have to learn how to shout once in a while. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. You got to break it off you. When Jesus cast out demons, folks, He cast them out with a word. He spoke to them. He took authority over them. Amen?
Amen.
And He pointed, He said, "And get out." You know? Just like that. He wasn't playing games. He wasn't playing patty cake. He wasn't in negotiation with the demons. He says, "You got no business here. Get out. The king has come." Amen? And Jesus sent us, and He says, "The kingdom of heaven is among you. Go in my name, cast out demons." And how do we do that? We do it with a word. We take authority and we speak to them and we command them in the name of Jesus to go. There's times, folks, where sometimes you can just speak to them and speak the truth, and the truth itself will expose them. They have no more hiding place and they have to go. Sometimes people get delivered just listening to a message. Sometimes they get delivered just praising and worshiping God. But other times, we have to cast them out. And we do that with a word. And we use the word of God as our sword. Amen? And we simply understand who we are in Christ. That if Jesus told me to do it, then He's going to back up His word. And so don't let them tell you any differently, because they're liars. I never understood that, negotiating with demons and trying, you know. Tell me this, tell me that, you know. Boy, they'll mess you up real fast. And they know where your weaknesses are too, so they will prey on your weaknesses. They'll remind you of your sin. They'll do anything to try to get you to doubt that God is with you and God is for you. How many know God is with you and God is for you? God has always been for you. Even when you were a sinner, God was for you. He wants you for His own. He didn't come to condemn but to save. And to reestablish us as sons, amen? In the kingdom, sons and daughters. And then He's given us the commission and the authority in His name to go and destroy the works of the devil, to do the same things He did. So we need to learn how to use this voice. Amen? And the command voice. Hallelujah, right? Frank, in the military, call it command voice. Attention! How many know that in Jesus' name, those demons are subject to you? I'm going to bring this up, folks. This is not something we need to be afraid of. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And we deal with them when we're confronted, all right? When they manifest, God is there to do something about it. And so, when we call out audibly, when we cry out, when we shout to the Lord, there is something that happens in the spirit realm. It begins to shatter the works of the enemy. And you need to get this, because if you don't, you can continue to be bound all your life. There are many Christians who have been bound all their life. They may be Christians, they may have Christ in them, but they've just walked around in defeat and in bondage all their life. I want you to know, folks, that there are many examples and many times that Christians get so oppressed by the enemy that literally you have to deal with those things and cast them out of the people. At least out of the soulish realm of the person. Possession means ownership. So if you're a child of God, they can't possess you. But they can oppress you. And if you allow them to beat up on you and to press you down and to shut you up, folks, that's exactly what they'll do. You just need to take a stand and say, no more. God is with me. God is for me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You need to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Psalms 145 and verse 18 says, "The Lord is near all who call upon Him." If you were to call out to a close friend and he and she was near you, what would they do? If they were a close friend, they would come, right? When I call my dog, I expect them to come, right? Maybe that's a poor example, but my dog doesn't listen half the time. So, I've been totally whooped by a 7-pounder, you know. Let me just once again restate this, folks, that it's very important that we have a pure heart. Only Jesus can purify your heart. Only Him can give you that shower on the inside. And you know He wants to do that. Has anybody besides me experienced that? The shower on the inside. To have your sins forgiven. To have a clean, clear conscience before God. To then once be able to come before Him in confidence and know that He's your Father now. That He's open to your prayers. I've had to call in the name of the Lord. When I got saved, when I was a new Christian, something radically happened to me. I didn't even really know what it was, except something had changed. I just called on Jesus. I knew enough to do that in my bedroom. But then there was some stuff that was just tagging along, stuff that was still attached, you know. And I can remember just getting it alone in my bedroom in the dark. And just calling out, crying out to God for His deliverance. God, set me free. God, break this off me. And begin to shout. And I tell you, folks, when I begin to shout to God, He heard me. And His stuff started to just come off, come off, come off. And God doesn't want one of His children to be bound by the devil. You don't have to be bound anymore. Jesus has come. And He has given us, amen, life abundantly. He has given us of His Spirit. How many today believe that you need a preacher to coach you? Say no.
No.
How many know that often preachers end up being coaches? Because people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And sometimes it's because God wants to work that way through an individual, right? And that's okay. But what a preacher's job is to empower you, right? To equip you, to enable you to follow Jesus, to do the same things. To be an example to the flock, right? To equip for the work of the ministry. You are a minister. God wants to equip you. God wants to use you supernatural ways. God wants to demonstrate His power and His kingdom authority on the earth through you. There are no superstars except one, right?
Amen.
That's it. And so God wants His people to understand His principles, that they're eternal, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. Sometimes you need to battle. Everything is not instant. Hello? In our society, we want everything now and instantly. But there are some things you have to contend for in your own experience. But don't give up, because God is on your side. And in the process of you contending for something, you actually become stronger in the spirit. You build your spiritual muscles by wrestling with principalities and powers, and rulers of wickedness in high places, in spiritual battle. Amen? How many know the best way to overcome the enemy is to get control of yourself? People want to go around and pick a fight with the devil, and they haven't even taken care of themselves yet. Out of a pure heart, you call upon the name of the Lord. Because you don't want to deal with them if you're not coming from a pure heart and you're not filled with the power of God. How many know that would be a disaster? How many know it's important that today is the day of salvation, and today is the day that you get your heart right with God, because you do have an adversary who wants to take you out. And if you keep playing patty cake with him, he will take you out. You need to deal a death blow to the sin nature so that the enemy is no longer going to have any access to you. You need to repent of your sin. You need to get your heart right with God so Jesus, amen, can fill your life with His Holy Spirit. And then you will be a formidable force in the kingdom, because it won't be you, but it will be Christ in you doing the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Almost done. Now, in Isaiah's day, because of the backslidden condition, in Isaiah 64 and verse 7, he said this: "There is no one who calls on your name." Listen. "Who stirs himself up to take hold of you." That word "stir" means awakens himself. We cannot be passive as believers. You cannot be neutral. God calls that lukewarmness. There are times, folks, you just need to stir yourself up. You need to say, "No more." He begins shouting to the Lord that whatever it was that's on him is out of there. If you want to be set free, if you really want to know liberty, you want to get the junk off and get the good in, you need to learn how to call on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
You need to do it audibly. You need to do it with this voice, all right, that God gave you. That's the launching pad, if you will, of your weapons, which are mighty through God,
yes,
to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus overcame the devil by the word of the Lord. Amen? It is written, it is written, it is written. And he spoke the word of God with authority, and the enemy had to heed what God said, because he's under his authority. And the same thing is true in our own personal lives, folks. The Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen?
Yes.
And therefore, we can take the word and we can speak into our situations. We can speak to our own situation. We can speak to whatever condition we may find ourselves in. You may find yourself in depression. Start speaking the word of the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I will rejoice in Him and be glad. Rejoice in the Lord always. Begin to defeat that enemy. Amen. Through the word of the Lord. Is the Word of God important in our lives? If the Word of God says, call upon the name of the Lord, then we need to do that. Start praising. Start calling on the name of the Lord today. This is something, folks, you need to practice every day. We should be, amen, even audibly speaking out. I hear Delsa all the time. She comes up, she prays. She prays out and she prays audibly. There's a time of silent prayer, folks, but there's something about when that prayer is articulated and it's audible. Because these spirits that want to torment you are subject to the Word of God. Amen? And they're subject to you and I in Christ Jesus. And James, was it in James where it says, submit yourself to God? Resist the devil and he will flee. The first thing you need to do is submit yourself to God. That means today you need to make a decision. Are you going to follow Jesus? Are you going to make Him your Lord and your Savior? Are you going to commit your life to Him? Or you can walk out the door just like you came in and continue to be a punk for the devil, because he's going to beat up on you. He's going to take you out. How many know that He's destroying many lives today? He's destroying people all over. Look at the destruction in our own lives because of Him. Who loves you? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus lives for you. Jesus is for you. Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to give you a future and a hope. God wants to give you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants to give you perfect peace that passes all understanding. God wants to fill you with His love, His perfect love that casts out all fear. Let Him do it. You've got to let Him do it. And you do that by coming to Him in obedience and in submission. Say, God, I'm a sinner. Would you stand this morning? I want to lead you in a prayer today. You want to get your heart right with God. I'm not going to ask for any hands. If you want to get your heart right with God today, you want to know the joy of the Lord. You want to know the peace of God in your heart today. You want to get your heart right with God. I'm just going to lead us all in a prayer. And I want you to pray and mean it in your heart. And God's going to hear you. If you mean it, He'll hear you. And something awesome is going to take place in your life today. God is going to want to set you free. God came that you might have life. He came that we might have life to the full. He didn't come to take away. He came to give. He's a giver. And He is the lover of your soul. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that what you want today? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I call on You today. I declare that You are the Lord. I believe You died on the cross for my sin. Jesus, I ask You to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe You rose again on the third day, and that You live for me. You pray for me. Jesus, I receive You this day as my Lord and Savior. I invite You into my heart. Save me. Make me a new creation. I thank You. In Jesus' name. Did you receive that today?